And now it's time for your financial destination with Roger Hamilton, with strategies to enhance or improve your retirement income.
Hello, I'm Roger Hamilton, and welcome to the Financial Destination Show. So over the next 15 minutes or so, we'll go over ways to improve your current investments and enhance your present or future retirement income. So here we are, a few weeks away from the 2020 RSP deadline, which this year is March 1, 2021. But RSP season, investing season, is year-round. It's just like going to the gym when they're open. You start off the new year, you get all excited, you go to the gym for 3 weeks, then you pause, stop, because you can't do it overnight. In RSPs, investing is the same. It's a continuous repetition, not get rich quick. But working on the right investments are like working out properly, not just showing up at the gym or placing all of your investments in a low return income or balance fund, but properly invested. So today we're going to talk about RSPs and also tax-free and compare them. They complement each other. Very similar, yet of course different. Similar in that you can invest in the very same funds in your RSP and in your tax-free, both providing you long-term retirement or pre-retirement growth and income. The tax implications are the biggest difference. Which should I have, an RSP or tax-free? Which is better for me? So let's start off with an RSP, the Registered Retirement Savings Plan. And the word savings should be called Registered Retirement Investment Plan. Savings, you save for short term, 8 days, 8 weeks, or 8 months from now. That's savings. Investing, you invest for your retirement and future wealth, multiple 5-year plans. Now, the word registered simply implies that it is a tax benefit plan. RSPs, RIFs, LIRAs, tax-frees, all registered plans. In Canada, RSPs began in 1957, a way to enhance your retirement income, more than just relying on CPP, thinking that someone's going to take care of me. No, you need to take care of yourself. Hopefully, and probably that's what you tell your kids, go earn it yourself. I'll give you advice, I'll show you the way, but you have to earn it. An investment you have to earn, but you also have to show an interest in your own investments. I come across a few clients, which is too many, who don't show enough interest in their own investments. And that'll show in their returns. The, I don't know, I assume the bank would take care of me plan isn't very strong. You have to take care of yourself with sound advice and knowledge. Take someone age 45, no real interest. 10 years later, you'll have no real growth in your investments. But for sure, you will be 10 years older. And there's no refund on lost time. So getting back to your RSP, 18% of your income you can place in your RSP. So someone earning $50,000 a year, that would be $9,000 per year they can put in their RSP. $100,000, of course, would be $18,000 in your RSP. The max you can do for 2020 was $27,300, which relates to someone earning about $151,000. If you make more than that, the RSP is still capped out at $27,300. Now, 18%, that's a fair bit of coin to save, more than most Canadians can do. Some can't, some can, and some just don't. Now, recent stats show that about 70% of Canadians invest in an RSP, and of that amount, 35% hit their max. Now, if you don't hit that max goal, the unused room, it carries over the next year and the next and builds and so on. Over 24 million Canadians have never maxed their RSP. There's roughly between $600 billion to $1 trillion since 1957 in unused RSP room in Canada. Now, the biggest benefits to an RSP, of course, is the tax-deferred growth. The sooner you start, the more you put in, the better the funds, the richer you become. The other big benefit, it lowers your taxable income. Let's say you make $70,000 a year. In Nova Scotia, your tax rate's around 35%. So you're taxed accordingly at work, based on $70,000. And you invest, not just save, but invest $10,000 into your RSP by the end of this February. That's roughly 15% of your income. You have those extra 60 days this year, time to evaluate your T4s and a chance to add some RSP. So you put in $10,000, a 35% tax bracket, your refund would be about $3,500. What to do with that refund? mortgage down payment, it won't cut the interest much anymore, but it will cut off time, and you still build up home equity. More RSP for next year. Place it in a tax reinvestment. All three are good choices. Sit down with your advisor. Not really too complicated. All are good answers. If you have high debt, you need to pay that down. But then tell yourself, if you have paid off your high debt, two words, never again. Now, should I take the refund and spend it on a trip or vacation when trips return? No. Buy new shoes or a dress? No. Down payment on a new car, pickup truck, accessories for my motorbike, or buy a four-wheeler and ATV with my tax refund? The answers, no, 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 and definitely no. This is a tax refund, and someday your RSP will become taxable, and CRA, your friends, will want you to pay back a portion of that tax, hopefully at a lower tax bracket than, but regardless, it is taxable, and CRA will not care much about your trip, your shoes, your new wheels, or all the things you spent their money on 20 years ago. Invest that refund, adding equity to your home, lowering your debts, invest in more RSP, or build a tax-free wealth plan. You'll get to enjoy even nicer trips and better shoes if you invest your tax refund. We'll be back right after this.
Does it seem that after several years, you're just getting older and your investments are not doing any better? What should you be doing? Are there simple strategies to improve your retirement income that you weren't advised on, you missed out on, and wish to change? Stay tuned. Roger will cover these topics. At any time, email your questions to Roger at yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879.
And we're back. So let's go through RSP compared to tax-free, the advantages for both. Which one should you have? Now, you should have both, but you might lean toward one more than the other. In both cases, RSP and tax-free, long-term investments, 5 years or more. The RSP advantage, of course, the tax-deferred growth. You can put stocks in your RSP, mutual funds, private equity, yes, Fidelity SEG funds. You invest globally, American, Canadian, international, large cap, mid cap, a portion, maybe even Far East if you're under 65. If you're over 65, that portion might be in a balanced fund. Don't overload in low-income funds. Time will go by, and you will become older, but not richer. RSPs lower your taxable income, either reduces the income you have to pay, or most likely will provide you with a refund. And of course, by age 71, your RSP converts to a RIF. You have to start withdrawals, taxable income, no matter what it's held in. But you're only taxed on the income taken out, not the gains. Most likely, you're going to be in a lower tax margin than you were in your working days. So you're paying back taxes at a lower rate. Big advantage, RSP. And because of the tax penalties, the RSP, if you cash it in too soon, too much, it prevents you or protects you from doing something silly with your money every time a spending emotion hits you. So the advantage is the RSP, you really can't take it out. It's for your own good to leave it there. Now, company RSPs, group plans, good idea. The company you work for will contribute 2, 3, maybe 5% of your income to an RSP. It's a bonus. It's not really free. You work there to get it, but a nice bonus. Take advantage. So again, let's go with someone making $70,000 and you put in 2%, $1,400 a year. The company matches it. Now it's 4%. It's not a full 18, but it's a start. But despite how good or bad the funds might be, you've basically doubled your money. You put in 14, you have 28. Now, sometimes the funds are rather bland in a group RSP. It's sort of like one size fits all. You're 38, and Bob over there is 63 and 2 years away from retirement. Your goals and needs are most likely quite different. The timeline, for sure. So you might want something different. Or maybe you're not sure what the funds are at work. So most times, you want to choose something rather aggressive, since most company group plans will still have a high percentage of less volatile funds and lower risk funds, even in their aggressive plans. But doubling your money, you put in 14, they put in 14, you might want to go aggressive. Assume the risk. You may not be there for the next 25 years, so most times, go aggressive. You can ask for the past 5 year results on the categories they give you, probably low, medium, and high categories. Usually have a choice. Now, the past 5 years doesn't guarantee what the next 5 years will be or the next 10, but it will give you an indicator of how the funds have performed. Now, once you hit that mark where the company stops contributing, you can invest in your own RSP. yes, Fidelity funds, private equity, whatever you want. Most likely, better growth because you're going to target the funds. Although no one else is contributing in your own RSP but yourself. So do the group plan first, for sure. Then if extra, you can do your own RSP plan. Now, some group plans allow you to move a portion, leave enough in there every year to keep it going, but move what you can to better performing funds, but continue paying into your company group plan while it's being matched. And when you retire and the company no longer pays into your plan, you can move your entire group RSP to perhaps a better performing set of funds. But take advantage of the extra company contributions now while you're working there. You have earned it. You can talk or seek out an investment advisor to talk about this when it's time to move your plan and go over your options. We'll be back to compare with tax-free right after this.
On the Financial Destination Show, we want you to become more educated, knowledgeable, and comfortable with your investments. Check your results over the past 5 years. Do you feel they should have done better? What would you change to improve performance over the next 5 years? Tune in every Thursday morning at 9:15 to hear more on how to improve your retirement income.
And we're back. So when shouldn't you have an RSP, or when might a tax-free be better? Keeping in mind, you're investing in the same growth funds, and this is for retirement, or at least tax-free growth and income down the road. So the RSP works great if your retirement income is going to drop by about a third. But if your retirement or pension is going to be similar, close to the same tax bracket, and you have to pay it in at the same rate that you get the deduction, it takes away the advantage of the RSP. And there, you should maximize your tax-free first. Tax-free works great for someone making, say, $50,000 or less. You're not in a high tax bracket. And you may not be able to put away the $9,000, six, maybe. And the purpose of the RSP is to reduce your taxes. But if you're taxed accordingly, you don't owe taxes every year at $50,000, you're not in a high tax margin. So money in your tax-free, it won't lower your taxes, but it grows tax-free. There's no tax ever. Same funds, no age limit. Now, for those who have too much pension income, government workers, police, teachers, nurses, for example, getting a guaranteed retirement income. Let's say you make $75,000 a year now, but maybe you're getting a life pension of $40,000. That is taxable. And then you have an RSP on top of that. You're paying back taxes at the same rate you save them. If that's the case with you, you have too much taxable pension income. So you might want to invest tax-free. And remember, you don't need as much. For $60,000 in a tax-free is the equivalent of about $100,000 in your RSP after taxes. Self-employed, you have money, you make money. You have two trucks, a backhoe, a bulldozer, two rental properties. Yet you show an income of $50,000 a year. You've already taken steps to lower your taxable income. No need for an RSP. Your income will be much the same when you retire. So you load up on your tax-free. And if you're starting, that's $75,005 each, $151 married. Growth funds, you could do real estate funds, although real estate funds are better held off outside of your tax-free before they are quite tax efficient. So in a self-employed, you want to go tax-free first, maybe tax-efficient second, and then tax-deferred RSP for self-employed. So those with guaranteed pensions, self-employed, and those making at around the $50,000 mark might want to lean to or maximize their tax-free first. For the rest of us, the majority, making $60,000 or more, you're getting no guaranteed pension, and a company RSP is not a guaranteed pension. It's simply an RSP that they're putting in some contributions to match yours. There's no fixed return at the end. The RSP works where most likely your income will be a fair bit less when you retire than what it was when you're working. So you load up, you max your RSP for those. And anything left over goes to tax-free. And your tax refund from your RSP, very important, place that in your tax-free and leave it there. Compound tax-free growth in funds that should average 5% annually or better over the next 5 to 10 years. Tax-free is not a savings plan. Tax-free should be a wealth tax-free building plan. And the other problem with tax-free is it's your own discipline. You know you can withdraw it and pay no tax on it. The idea is to leave it there. An RSP, you're hit with a tax bill. It's placed in our minds that you shouldn't take it out. We leave it there for retirement. Your tax-free should be thought of the very same. Forget about savings. It's a registered tax-free retirement plan. We are located at 1702 Sackville Drive. Visit yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-4000. 5879. I trust you gained some knowledge this morning. We thank you for listening. I'm Roger Hamilton. Until next time, stay safe and stay invested.